Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the time of rejoicing. When we gather together that love the Lord, I mean, that's what we find as we have here tonight, Lord, shouting the victory in the name of the Lord Jesus, having confidence in the word of God, knowing assuredly that the Lord is in the midst of his people. The Lord that God in the midst of us, he is mighty, faithful and true. Lord, we thank you for blessing us even in worshiping and praising you, Lord. The world can't hold us down anyway. Cold and the weather cannot hold us down. In the name of the Lord. Lord, the sons of God are marching on. The manifestation thereof is upon the scene right now. As we get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. As we read the scripture tonight, Lord, we trust you as always. As we bless the reading of your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, we've been talking about this Satan and so on, that, you know, it's fall, and then how he has manipulated things over the ages. And when the last time we were here, we talked about how it's an usurper. We saw everything that God has ever made, counterfeiter, you know, whether it's world kingdom. That is even the temples of God. He stop everything. So tonight, let's talk about the hierarchy. You know, he has an hierarchy in his government, you know. And talk about two major of his hierarchies tonight. Meaning fallen angels and demons. So we're going to go into every direction. Satan, you don't know what? The days of Job are far, far, thousands of years ago, right? He had no precedence, right? God has given and God has saved. He didn't know what was happening behind the scenes, right? Those days are gone, Satan. God has opened the eyes of his people. Even Brother Peter, one of the greatest disciples, oh Lord, he won't go to the cross. Get in behind you, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. For thou tell not the thing which be of God but of man. Peter was even caught in that, right? You know. So and but when they come to Brother Paul, a couple of days, you know, this spirit of divination. Oh, you are the servant of the living God. That, you know, he didn't even catch it. No, until the Holy Ghost move on him, amen.
Yeah.
Then he cut out the devil and things like that, you know. So in this age we are living in now, so God opened the eyes of his children, and one of the ways that Satan works is this: try to make people to think that he is not there. So even deny that it even exists, you know. You know, so that's how they make it easy for him to oppress people, right? That's why God begins to let us go through this series. And plus, above everything else, the Bible, the old Bible, is our doctrine, amen?
Amen.
The old Bible is the doctrine of the elect. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And that's where we are going. So anyway, so the hierarchy. Satan is the principal character and leader of the forces of evil. He is at the top of it, right? Then, underneath him are a vast number of fallen angels through which he influences and controls the destinies of the nation. Like we saw that time, we saw even the kingdoms of the world, things like that, you know, and an usurper and God of this world. Then, not only that, but the fallen angels, the Bible also talks about the existence of lesser emissaries known as demons or evil spirits. See the hierarchy right there. Satan at the top of it, at the fallen angels. Then you have these lesser emissaries of the devil called demons or evil spirits. They are the same thing, you know. So tonight, let's talk about these two categories of the emissaries of Satan. So Satan angels apparently fall into two groups. One of these includes those angels which at present are at liberty in the heavenly and who are assisting Satan in his war against the host of God. That's one group of the fallen angels. They are in the heavenly. And so on. That Bible says that we won't war against flesh and blood, right? Against principality, against power, against the rest of the darkness of this world. And so in Ephesians 6. That's one group of the fallen angels. There's another group in those whose freedom have been taken away from them and who have been placed under chains of darkness to await the day of judgment. So there are two groups of them. Some of them are in the heavenlies. They are saved by the light now to war against God's host. Another group of the same angels of the devil are imprisoned. They are in chains of darkness. Let's get scripture behind these things. This other group that are in prison. In Jude, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. What does that mean? It means that certain of the fallen angels are no longer at liberty, but have been imprisoned in the utter darkness. And what they get what they deserve, right? Having loved darkness rather than light, they have been given opportunity to taste of the everlasting darkness. This category of fallen angels. Not that you know. Now, these imprisoned angels are also spoken of yet in other scripture. The Bible is also wonderful at the matter of two or three witnesses, right? In 2 Peter 2, the same thing the Bible talks about in 2 Peter 2, the fourth verse. For if God spare not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So right there. Now that word hell there, and let us kind of make it, you know, a distinction right there. That word hell is interpreted many ways in King James Version. So the usage here is not the one that is translated from the Greek word. This one here is translated from the word Tartarus, you know, that's what it means from here, which means they are bold. It means a prison house, if you want. It's a prison house for fallen angels. There are other places where hell is used as, as Hades, which means the abode of the dead. Yet, in another place, that word hell is used as Gehenna, you know, which means the lake of fire. But the one here is actually Tartarus, meaning a prison house for fallen angels. We are in Peter wrote by the Holy Ghost here that I just read just now, you know, a few minutes ago. Now, the question may be asked now. Why are certain of the fallen angels at liberty? Why others are bound in chains of darkness and deny their freedom? Why is that? Well, we have to look at the Bible to find the answer to this question. So, bearing in mind this thing, that the scriptures teach that there has been an age-long warfare in the heavenlies. Bible teaches that, you know. So we know that. From time to time, certain principalities are defeated. We know that, and overthrown. We have an example in Daniel 10. We know Daniel for 21 days, right? And the angelic messenger to him was delayed. And Michael, one of the chief princes, had to come and help him out. So that's how we see. So that angel Michael encountered one of those principalities and fallen angels, you know, right there, you know, and defeated that fallen angel. So the question to ask is this: after this evil angel was shorn of his power and his kingdom brought to an end in the time of Daniel, so what happened? Was that angel left free to continue his activities, or was he made a prisoner? You see? Even, you know, so for the natural, the spiritual, right? So even in the human physical warfare, talk about prisoners of war, right? Yes. That is also spiritual, prisoners of spiritual warfare. Yeah. This angel, according to what I've read in the Bible, you know, they are prisoners of spiritual warfare, right? So I don't believe that angel that Michael defeated was left to roam around and continue to do what he was doing. I don't think so. Anyway, so why it is true Satan has some kind of legal claim, like we saw in the past on the earth, for a limited period only. It is also appears that his domain is gradually being overthrown. So, and many of his kingdom have already even fallen. So, upon the defeat of these kingdoms, what happened? There is a possibility that prisoners have been taken. We are wondering, why are some of the fallen angels in prison? Why are some of them still at liberty and still warning the heavenlies against the host of God? So we see. So it's a possibility. Prisoners have been taken when one of his kingdoms fall and things like that, like Daniel defeated, like the archangel Michael defeated that one over there. So we see. So we can begin to draw inferences, from this kind of scenario. So why are some of them in prison? And some of them, we don't know all the answer. So one thing is this, whatever be the case, one thing is this. Fallen angels have been taken and imprisoned according to the scriptures, regardless of how it happened. So some of them were in prison, like we have read in two scriptures, and in prison. Although the time they were apprehended is not definitely given us in the Bible or proven. But we know the idea, we go to scripture in Jude. And in Peter. Another thing is, if certain fallen angels have been banned and their activities curtailed, it is also appears or makes sense, and it is true, that at least some of them will be loosed, for a little while during the closing days of the Great Tribulation, while the judgment of God are in the earth. The judgment of the trumpets in Revelation allude to this truth, where they were banned, but I think the Bible says so. Some of them will be loose during the trumpets, Let's get two scriptures in there. But we're talking about the two groups of the fallen angels, Then we're talking about demons very quickly, So now in Revelation 9, so we see that some of them will be loosed in the trumpets, which when we went through the book of Revelation, we do a lot on this kind of subject here. Revelation 9:13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had a trumpet, loose the four angels. You see that? Loose the four angels. These are all fallen angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, or a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. We dare so much on that thing. One of the reasons why they say, pray that they can't tell the world to escape these things, amen. The trumpets, look at we went through those things before and so on, A third of all the population of time will be gone when these fallen angels are loosed, at that time, Now, moreover, it appears that at the same time, a great army of demons will also be loosed from the bottomless pit. Both categories will be loosed in the time of the trumpets. There are two categories. There are the fallen angels, there are demons. I will end by giving differentiation between the two of them. They're not the same thing, There are fallen angels are different from demons, So anyway, but both two categories will be loosing during the trumpets. Let's see we are praying for the fallen angel, right? This one. Now, Revelation 9:1. Test of the other one that will be loose. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. I know we spend a lot of time to explain that these are not just ordinary locusts, right? And verse 7 says, and their faces were as the faces of men. The way the Bible describes them, they are not ordinary locusts. They have leader over them. And all those kind of things are ordinary locusts. You don't have leader over them, but we don't want to go to that tonight. So we see, we conclude that time that these were nothing but demons, Just demon spirits and so on, that means there were so much grace upon the face of the earth. So both fallen angels and demons will be loosed during the trumpets, Added the time of the activities of these evil powers will be very short according to the scripture. In fact, it's limited to only 5 months. That's in Revelation 9:10. And they had tails like unto scorpions. What kind of look like, you know? What kind of locust is like that? These are demons, right? And they have tails like unto scorpions. And they were and there was things in their tails. And their power was to hurt men for 5 months. Thank God. Yes, right. Yeah. I skipped those ones just to save time, you know, because we went through those ones before many months ago, you know. So, anyway, just to show that these are just demons and not just ordinary locusts of, you know, that eat the grass and the herbs or the seed, you know. So, it's talking about spiritual things here. Well, the scripture indicates that after this, they will undoubtedly be returned to the bottomless pit again. After that, 5 months, where did they go? They're going to be returned back there. Because their master will be returned to the, you know, in Revelation 20. So we are talking about the what happened to these fallen angels and demons, right? Some of them are bound right now. And you know, so these demons will be returned because their master is in the bottomless pit in Revelation 21. And then I saw an angel came down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set his seal upon him, that he should deceive the nation no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose a little season. I'm just saying that even. Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, undoubtedly, I believe that his companions too, his emissaries, will go down with him, you know. Although Bible didn't say that right there, you know, they will go down there. So we have, you know, we have understanding now, by now, that the locusts, like I said before, you know, mentioned the fifth trumpet, are not just ordinary locusts, they are demons. So, and this brings us to the lowest order of the hierarchy of Satan emissary, demons. Now, demons are a class of fallen spirit beings, of which the Bible takes frequent notice. These are variously called evil spirits, or they are called demons, or they are called devils. It's all the same one. Although they are spirit beings, they are distinctly of a different order than either Satan himself or the fallen angels. They are very, very different. As I'm going to see right now. We do not have a scriptural record, for example, or fallen angels inhabiting human beings. We don't have that record, except in one place, where the Bible says that Satan got into Judas. That's the only one we have record of, you know. Rather than that, we don't have a record of fallen angels inhabiting human bodies. Yeah. So, the fallen angels, why would that not be so? Because the fallen angels apparently have a spiritual body of their own, of some sort, you know, and they do not have any need for embodiment. That will explain that, you know. Their sphere of activity is in the heavenly, like I said before, rather than upon the earth. Although it is true that they will be forced out of the heavenlies during the great tribulation. That's in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. And think that, you know, we can skip that one just to save time. Now, but demons are different. Demons, on the other hand, eagerly seek human habitation. See? Why? All evidence points to the fact that they are disembodied spirits. They are. And therefore, their desire for embodiment. You know? Although demons are subordinate to the fallen angels, they are a lower order in the hierarchy of the devil and so emissaries. Their activities are in harmony with the objective and purposes of Satan. You know? They play an important role in the devil's program, really. Now, that takes me to a question that is often asked. Where did the demons come from? Where is their origin? Where did they come from? So, where? I will say that ahead right now. It's a question that is easily asked than answered, really. I say that because the Bible is very scanty in its account of the origin of these demons. But we just use some scriptures to get an insight, and we'll not be dogmatic about this, amen? So, but we just read some scripture to see, you know, where they would have come from, again, we're not going to be dogmatic or anything like that, you know. There is a widely held belief among many, many Bible scholars that demons had their origin in the pre-Adamite world. See? And I think there is some evidence to support such a conclusion. And I believe that, you know, I'm going to read some scripture to support that. Again, no dogmatism in this thing, you know. So, without being dogmatic about it, let's take a brief note of this evidence that this might come from the pre-Adamic world, you know. Now, when God created Adam, what happened? And Eve, and placed them in the Garden of Eden, He gave them the command to multiply and replenish the earth. That is in Genesis 1:28 and things like that, you know. God gave that command, right? So this is the same command that He gave Noah after the flood. Genesis 9:1. That's me going to read those ones thing. So in both cases, the word replenish was used, right? That means to refill. Like we said, even a couple of, you know, when they go about this same subject, it means to replenish, right? To refill. And the inference in both cases, both in the Adamic creation, when God says replenish the earth, and Noah, the inference is that in both cases, that the earth had been previously inhabited before its population was depleted. You can't refill what's in there before. You know, if I give you a cup, I say, oh, please refill. Meaning you have finished something was in there before, right? Refill. Something was in the earth before Adam. That's what we are talking about. And like in the flood, when he told not to replenish, they had wiped out all the other, you know, all believers, the anti-believers were gone, you know. Question now. I will put them in the form of question. But were there people living on the earth before the time of Adam? And did God send a judgment upon this race that was before Adam? I put them in the question mark, you know. The scriptures not only indicate that there was such a judgment, but even a judgment of greater scope than even the flood happened in the past. In fact, we are told that as a result of that judgment, there was no man left. That the Bible says, I'll get the scripture right now. No man left on the earth. And another place says, the earth was without form and void, just exactly what Genesis 1:2 said. I say like that, you know. We are alluding to the Bible is inferring that there are some race before Adam, you know. So we are the two scriptures I want to read is Isaiah 24:1, talking about the earth being empty. So 24 of Isaiah 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. If that is not revealing enough, let's get what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 4. In fact, you know, it makes it clearer. But I said the same thing actually. Jeremiah 4:23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form. Like Genesis, right? Like Genesis 2. Without form, and a void. And the heavens, and they had no light. Where did the light go? You know? Genesis 1, 2. Compare that next one to, you know. And verse 24 says, and I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. See? And all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down. Jeremiah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no problem. Jeremiah 4. And from 23. So they were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. So those figures they speak a volume to us, you know. So another question. Was there a previous Eden before the Eden of Adam and Eve? That was what we are learning from here, from this scripture, you know. Did Lucifer, son of the morning, have access to that Eden that was there before the Edenic Eden? And so, the Satan's fall affected the earth, and were there cataclysmic earth changes resulting from a divine judgment at that time? That was it sounds like, you know, and even the eyes of Revelation is telling us that even science, geologic evidence of the so-called Ice Age bears witness to the fact that there apparently was some kind of catastrophe which rendered the world inhabitable. Even science said that, you know, they think so in that, looking back in science and all that, you know. So the question is, where I'm going is this. If Satan extended his rebellion to the inhabitants of the pre-Adamic earth, then it would be a simple matter to account for the existence of demons. That's the conclusion I'm trying to draw. Again, no dogmatism here, it just means like that and so on. Whatever the truth may be, though, is, you know, in this matter, the undeniable fact is that vast numbers of demons do exist. You know that for yourself. And the egalistic embodiment in human beings. Many Bible verses, we have also handled this thing. We have seen, we have handled it, we have seen, we have had it, you know. And although the Bible is scattered, like I said before, in its account of the origin of demons, we are given considerable information concerning their present habits and activities all over the Bible. So let's get one or two of the activities of demons. So there are people today who don't want to believe that there are demons, you know, you know, and even there are even Christians, you know, that the area and kind of where demons like to go, right? Because you don't believe that.
So do they have the kind of creation that the angels have?
So, yeah. Where they are spirit beings, for sure.
They are spirit beings?
Yeah, they are spirit beings, yes.
Okay, so, they have, they are like the angels.
So, you see, Satan, there are fallen angels. Like we said before, mm-hmm. From what we know, those fallen angels, we don't hear them embodying anybody, human beings. Mm-hmm. Except when Satan enters Judas, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these demons, because they don't, they are disembodied spirits, they seek embodiment. Even if it be an animal, as you always now in the cave of the pig and so that. So that was what I'm trying to say here. So the origin, we can just infer from what you just read now. So in Luke 11:24, the Lord makes a most interesting statement concerning the eagerness of demons to inhabit the human body. And what demons do in the event they are ejected from their habitation. Let's go to Luke 11:24 and see what the Lord says. And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return unto my house when I came out. A liar, he's a liar, isn't he? Shut your house, Lucifer. That's your house, you know. Anyway, so, and when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last of that man is worse than the first. Like I said, that is talking, we are talking about spiritual world right now, you know. Quite different from what happens, it's not any less real than the real world that we are living in. So from this statement of the Lord, we see that a demon has rest only when he finds habitation in a body. Once he takes possession of a person, he will remain there until he is forcibly ejected, or that person dies. That's the way it goes, you know. He will not even willingly live on his own accord. So, and we see that in Luke 11:17-22, talking a lot about that. I've just saved time, but, you know, you can read it, you know, to see that, you know, what I'm talking about. Notwithstanding, a demon, should be fearing demons now? No, not at all. Notwithstanding, a demon must respect the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely, you know. So and that's why the Lord taught us in the Great Commission. He said it to us in Mark 16:17. In my name, these signs shall follow them. One of these signs will follow us as believers. Cast out demons, you know. So and he also spoke of this power he gave his disciples in Luke 10:19. Let me read from 10:17-19. And the 17 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. We are in the church today. I'm telling you these things, amen. Many, but thank God for God giving us understanding, right? You know, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I always like that phrase. So there's nothing you can come up with, amen? That I don't already receive power from the Lord to overcome it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And nothing shall by enemies hurt you.
Amen.
Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not the Lord told you disciples and so on, that the Spirit has said unto you, but rather rejoice because your name are written in heaven. Even dealing with demons is the least of all things, amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wow, how you feel to rejoice and so on. When you know these things, they were happy as the Bible says. Now, let's round up here tonight. I don't want to take too much time on this thing. The hierarchy, both the fallen angels and demons. Referring again to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 11:24, we see that when a demon is cast out, is unable to find rest of any kind. It's restless. He therefore will seek entrance into another human body, which he may find difficult to do, really, you know. And it then occurs to that devil and so on, like we had that thing that the Lord told. Perhaps he may re-enter the body of the person from whom he was cast out. In the case the Lord mentioned, and the demon returns, I find a house wept, swept and garnished. Upon his discovery, he takes to him 7 more spirits more wicked than himself. And the Bible says the seed of that man was worse than the first. So the obvious lesson here is this. Demons have no right to dwell in the individual who professes the name of the Lord. I want to really put that down. I say demons have no right to dwell in the individual who professes the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. However, if the person is disobedient, self-willed, and intent upon his own cause, and permits his life to continue empty of the things of God, then the demon has a right to return and take possession of that person, you know. Now, let me finish with what the Bible called the legion of demons. We're talking about spiritual world now, you know. So further we are told that on the abyss of demons revealed in the madman of Gadara, you know, in Mark chapter 5. I just read one verse to save time, verse 9. And he asked him, meaning the Lord asked that, you know, asked him and said, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. See? So in this case, the man is possessed of a legion of devils, perhaps thousands, several thousands, right? That is his spiritual world. I want to end with this note. This shows what? That the laws which govern a physical body are not the same as those which govern a spirit. A physical object like this can only occupy one place at a time, right? Or you can stack up chairs, but in real sense, only in the physical world, right? You know, only one object can occupy a place. But in the spiritual world, like we said, in the spirit world, as many as several thousands demons may occupy the same space. It's a spiritual different world completely, you know. So we see that in the Bible. So we just leave it there. The two hierarchies, ministry, the fallen angels, have a distinction between them. Some of the fallen angels are still loose out there in the heavenlies. Revelation 12:12 coming to eject them out of there. And you know, some of them are banned in prison houses, spiritual prison houses and so on. In the trumpet, they will be loose for a while. You know, and then, so we see about demons and so on. They're all over the world. And You know, so Brother Paul had them speak. The Lord had them speak. We have had them spoke too, innit? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. And people have taken so much in what they call the deliverance ministry. You know, the whole government is deliverance, right?
Yes.
People have been saying, I have deliverance ministry. The whole government is deliverance, right? Praise the Lord. We had them spoke too, you know? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And God will bring all those things back as the revival heats up, you know?
Amen.
And God is going to bring all these things back when we know our right. And the people are not knowing that they see that the devil is there and there are demons in there. Many of the troubles that people have and so on are a demon cause, you know? And so we know that. Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We worship and we adore you, Lord. Thank you for giving us understanding as we close the age. Put us in some of this we have had before, but put us in remembrance of this thing because they will be needful in such an hour like this. So we worship and we adore you as we go tonight, Lord, and meditate upon this thing. Above it all, that we need not to be afraid of any of the hierarchy of Satan. The Bible says that we tread upon serpents, upon scorpions, and over all these powers, and notice that by any means utter. Doesn't even stop there. We have been given authority in the name of Jesus to deliver those who are bound by this spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So therefore, let the church be awakened. Not pray only for ourselves now, Lord God. And we know when the occasion arises. You have authorized us, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that many, many will be set free. We thank you tonight for blessing us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So tonight, Brother Benjamin will be helping us with the